Interview du groupe Sparks pour Annette de Léos Carax, présentée en ouverture du Festival de Cannes depuis La Croisette, entretien avec le duo Sparks. Pour lire la traduction écrite de cet entretien en anglais, retrouvez donc l'article de l'entretien sur cinésique.fr que vous pouvez lire en simultané de l'écoute de ce podcast. Quelle place a le cinéma dans votre musique? Vous avez étudié le cinéma à l'école. À quel niveau se situent vos goûts cinématographiques?
When we were at university, we were always huge French cinema buffs, in particular Godard and Truffaut, because it was kind of the cool thing to do at that time, and so young people liked British music and French cinema. And you know, when we started, most of our music sounded cinematic, not in the orchestration or anything, but just the fact that it kind of elicited big images, and a lot of times, even though the songs were 3 or 4 minutes long, they were narrative things. So I think there is some cinematic influence on what we do, even when we're working in short ways. But we've always also, you know, in tandem with working on our individual songs, wanted to have a movie musical project that was, you know, within our sensibilities. And there have been a couple of times in the past with projects that didn't quite see the light of day, but the film with Léos Carax, Annette, you know, it's a dream that it actually happened and opened the film, the Cannes Film Festival this year.
Vous avez eu des projets avortés avec Jacques Tati et Tim Burton. Que pouvez-vous nous en dire?
Well, in the 70s, our record label had organized a meeting with Jacques Tati, and they had proposed to him possibly doing some sort of collaboration together. And he had a new film project that he was working on called Confusion, and he was, after meeting us, wanted to use the two of us as actors within this movie. And we were really excited because we're huge Jacques Tati fans, and you know, he's just created an amazing universe around what, you know, his character. And so unfortunately, after working with him for months on, you know, helping to, you know, further develop the project, he had troubles getting financing for his films, and then his health sort of declined as well. So the project never saw the light of day, unfortunately. And then in the late 80s, we had a project with Tim Burton that was a movie musical, actually, that we did the music for. It was for a Japanese manga called My the Psychic Girl. And it was we were working with the screenwriter and one of the producers of Beetlejuice. And so they obviously knew Tim Burton from that project. And so once we had finished all the work on it, we all went to Tim. We had him come and hear the music, and he absolutely loved it and wanted to direct it. And then he asked for a rewrite, though, from the screenwriter. And then after getting that, he was disappointed in for some reason about the screenplay, and so the project then just didn't go forward. So that's why now with having Annette here at Cannes, it's even more you know, it's sweeter, the whole experience, because of our two other experiences where we had really great projects and with really great directors, but unfortunately they didn't happen.
Et donc, concernant Annette, comment s'est déroulée la rencontre avec Léos Carax? Connaissiez-vous son cinéma avant de le rencontrer?
We did, and we were huge fans of his films before we met him. And we were at Cannes. The only other time we've been at Cannes was 8 years ago. We were trying to place an earlier project of ours that was called The Seduction of Ingmar Bergman. So, you know, we're not businessmen, but we were trying to kind of sell that film, and or the idea of the film, to get it made. And somebody had introduced us to Léos, who had used one of our songs in what at that time was our latest, his latest film, Holy Motors, an old song of ours called How Are You Getting Home? So, you know, we met with him for a short time and, you know, we got along with him really well and felt, you know, like there was some kind of kinship there. So we had written this project called The Net that was going to be Sparks' album, but, you know, a long narrative piece, but done theatrically with us and just with a few people so that we could afford to tour with it. In any case, we got back to Los Angeles and we just sent him this just to see what he thought, you know. And so he got it and he said, I really like this. Let me just kind of ponder it for a couple of weeks. And he got back to us and said, you know, I'd really like to direct this, you know. And, you know, he made clear that he's the kind of director that wants to put in some of his own personality into the film, you know, but that when it's Leos Carax, you accept that. And so here we are eight years later.
Ce sont vos chansons qui ont donné naissance au projet, mais avez-vous retravaillé dans un second temps la musique pour le film?
Well, there, you know, just in a technical way, there was some editing of things because we always had to react, like if a song was cut, you know, and then figure out a way to kind of take out a few beats. And so, you know, it's mostly that sort of thing. I mean, when the shooting started, it was pretty finalized, but Leos wanted the singing to be all live. So, you know, the actors were really well rehearsed. And once the shooting started, we didn't want to interfere with the process. We were heavily involved earlier with kind of the rehearsals of the actors and those sort of things, but it's really unfair to a director that's needs to be focused for writers to come on the screen and say, excuse me, you know, just so at that point we stayed out of it. But after the film was shot, we had to do some technical things, but at that point it's not a big deal.
C'est une comédie musicale. Quelle est votre relation avec ce genre cinématographique?
Well, you know, we tend to not be such fans of kind of more traditional Broadway musicals where people break into song and there's choreographed dance routines and that sort of thing. What we respond to with musicals is more films in the style of like Umbrellas of Cherbourg, where it's more naturalistic in the approach, and there's not choreography in a traditional way, and so that's why we really see what we're doing as more, you know, in that sort of area rather than the traditional Hollywood kind of movie musical. So that's kind of our preference.
Leos Carax est un immense fan de rock anglo-saxon. Avait-il une bonne oreille musicale pour accueillir votre musique?
Free in this, in
freedom.
Well, I mean, most of the music was actually done even before we met him, so he accepted most of the things. It was more just refining some of the pieces, making the characters a little more well-rounded, and then he requested a couple of extra pieces, but we were fortunate because he just loved the project. I mean, you're correct in mentioning that he has a passion for music, because you can see in every one of his previous films, even though they're not musicals, there's always a music sequence that's really extraordinary. You know, just the accordion sequence in Holy Motors, or the Modern Love sequence in Lovers on the Bridge, and so. So he has a real understanding of how to convert music into a film. So we had complete faith that was going to happen for 2 hours and 20 minutes.
Malgré que ce soit votre histoire, nous ressentons des échos entre votre scénario et l'histoire personnelle de Leos Carax. Comment l'expliquez-vous?
Well, I mean, he's a real singular director. You know, he works in his own universe and with his own set of rules, and I think that's something that he also appreciates about Sparks music, that we're in our own universe and have created our own world. And so I think, you know, we knew he was a big fan of Sparks, and so we didn't see there being really any leap of faith on his part that stylistically we would not fit in with his world. And once we met him and discussed the project that we had, and that he loved what it was, and he loved the whole universe even that we created with the story, with, you know, about this comedian, stand-up comedian, and an opera singer who have an unlikely relationship and then have this child, and then things start to go astray. And so he loved the whole premise, so there wasn't an issue of our world not kind of fitting in with his world. We both appreciate each other's world, and the combination is what I think made Annette the movie be so special.
Léos Carax a fait ce qu'il voulait de votre chanson. A-t-il fait un peu comme Godard qui coupait arbitrairement dans la musique?
Well, he didn't use it quite as in a way that where you kind of are taken out of the film in the way that Godard often used music, where you're made aware that you're watching a film, and that a soundtrack isn't just something to lull you to sleep, but it's there and it disappears. And, you know, Godard was brilliant at those kind of things. This was a little different because, I mean, you hate to say traditional when it's talking about Léos Carax, but just the idea that the pieces were used in a continuous kind of way. I mean, I think the one thing that, you know, just cutting between different locations with the same song, he would do that in really brilliant ways. It's not a musical decision, but kind of a visual one. But, you know, it wasn't taking the things and kind of making a collage out of them. They're used in a way that really fulfills the feeling of each of the pieces.
Votre musique pour le film est très variée, comme votre propre musique partagée entre les dimensions rock, classique, avec de l'orchestre et de l'opéra.
Well, we really like the fact that it has a mélange of different styles musically, and we always think that's something that Sparks has always had in our music, and we kind of carried that further in Annette. Having those kind of incongruities of some more pop songs with a band, and some, like you said, more orchestral, and some more, you know, vocal, ensemble pieces. We think the variety and kind of makes it have more, there's more unexpected twists when not only the story is continually moving on and twisting, but then musically also stylistically there's really wide variation. We really like that, having those kind of juxtapositions of different styles.
Et dans le film, il y a aussi un mélange des genres, la comédie, la romance, le thriller, le film policier. Dans quelle mesure, musicalement, vous avez également accompagné ces différents styles de films?
That part of it was always there. I mean, we haven't done a lot of narrative stories for films, so we're kind of coming at it maybe with an advantage where we're not thinking in terms of clichés, and so the idea of it not being one kind of concept, but kind of being this strange mixture of kinds of films, that was kind of there from the very beginning. And, you know, we people sometimes have trouble placing the film when they see it because they want it to be one thing, you know, but, you know, why?
C'est la première fois que vous écrivez la musique pour un film, peut-être une fois sur Knock Off, un film de Zwihark en 1998.
Yeah? Yeah. Well, we did a... There's a lot of Spark songs have been used in different movies, but just the director takes a song and uses it. For Knock Off, for the Zwihark film, that song was actually written specifically for the movie, and it's the title song of that movie. Yeah.
Well, we did the whole soundtrack for that movie, and to be honest, we really don't feel like our strength is doing soundtracks. It's more doing movie musicals where the vocals and the music and the images work together. So we would prefer to stay away from, there's so many people that can do soundtracks well. So we feel that we have a strength doing films like Annette that are the marriage of vocals and the music and the imagery.
Il y a aujourd'hui de plus en plus de groupes de musique qui se mettent à composer pour un film. Est-ce que c'est une démarche que vous voulez développer, de vous cacher derrière une autre œuvre?
No, actually not. I mean, but the thing is, we don't have a choice, you know. If we were, I think maybe the closest that time has come was during the Knockoff soundtrack, which was an attempt to sound like Hollywood film composers. And first of all, we didn't enjoy it that much. Joy Hark's a brilliant director, but I don't think the film is the music is extraordinary, and you know, it's just it isn't our strength. So it's better for us just to do what we do, and because if we try to mold it to a way that is without our sensibility, it turns into just something just really bland.
Danny Elfman, le compositeur de Tim Burton, a commencé ainsi. Il faisait partie au départ d'un groupe Oingo Boingo.
Well, I mean, there is a really good kind of marriage between him and Tim, you know, Danny Elfman and Tim Burton. I mean, so, and you know, he has a real affinity for doing those kind of soundtracks, but we would really prefer to have an opening night film at Cannes.
Un documentaire qui vous est consacré sort le 28 juillet en France, The Sparks Brothers. Est-ce que vous avez contribué à son élaboration?
No, we, Edgar Wright and his whole team, they traveled around the world with us to Japan and Mexico City, Los Angeles, London, filming us in different settings and filming concerts of ours. And then interviewing us over a number of days, and so we were an active part of it. But then also Edgar, he's interviewed over 80 different people for this documentary, and a whole who's who of musicians speaking about their relationship to Sparks and what Sparks has meant to them. You know, people as wide range as from, you know, Steve Jones to the Sex Pistols to Duran Duran and kind of everything in between. And then he has actors speaking about Sparks, like Mike Myers talking about his, you know, talking about lyrics of Sparks, and writers like Neil Gaiman, who analyzes some of our album covers within the documentary, and TV producers, and writers. So it's a really wide range of people, and really unexpected, that would be kind of fans and just people that have been really influenced in some way about Spark. So it's so it's not only us in there speaking about Sparks, but a lot of other famous creative people talking about the band. Yeah.
And you are a great actors in Annette.
Oh yeah, our cameo roles, yes.
Our first scene is just walking and singing the So May We Start. So it wasn't that difficult to do. We were okay
to walk. We're pretty good at that. But
the airplane pilot.
Yeah.
Was wrong.
I mean, we weren't forcing ourselves into the movie. It was Leos that said that. So that he would want us in just a few of the scenes. So it was fun. I mean, we have no thoughts of being actors, but it's fun to have like a little Hitchcock movie and moment in a film.
Thank you very much. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Merci.
Anne.
Are you drunk, Henry?
I'm not that drunk. Let's waltz.
But I'll kill my voice out here. Henry, a storm is rolling in.
I'm well aware of that, my dear. Let's waltz in the storm.
Henry, you're drunk. Henry, you're drunk.
I'm not that drunk. I'm not that drunk. Abe, where's Annette? Where did she go?
Annette's asleep. She's safe below. Henry, you're not the man I know.
I'm not that drunk. I'm not that drunk. I'm not that drunk. I'm not that drunk.
Henry, you're not the man I know. We'll catch our death in this rain. Henry, stop fooling around. We could slip. We could drown. Henry, don't fool around. There's a storm, settle down. Careful, hey, what if we fell? No one could survive these swells. You're quite drunk, let's calm down. When we're safe, you can't be a clown. What has gotten into you? What has gotten into you? With this storm and this sea, I feel scared, look at me. Comfort me, hold me tight. Oh, what a terrible, terrible night. My voice, Henry, is nothing sacred to you?
Oh, God knows everything is to you. Always trumpeting values, the sacred values. And then dying, and dying, dying. And then bowing, bowing, bowing.
Henry, stop it, stop it now. We're gonna fall, gonna die. What has gotten into you? Think of a knife!